Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Patreons. Thank you for your support. We've done a quick emergency one on a Saturday night, which we always sort of intended to do, because the title has been decided. So we will be doing the full podcast. Thank you for all your votes in the various polls that we've got running. We'll have a look at those in a couple of days. I noticed Llorente is winning in the Player of the Year poll, for example. And obviously Atleti have done it, but let's do a podcast. We're recording Saturday night, so I haven't sat down and written much of an intro, but there we are. Here we go then. Welcome to El Telen John's La Liga Weekly, a two-team league, not when Diego Simeone is around. Now, congratulations to Atletico. We all suffered exactly how we would have wanted. The new tagline for La Liga, because suffering is good for the soul. Well done to Elche, who won the battle for survival in front of some fans. Hard luck to Huesca and Valladolid, who we lose from La Liga. Thank you to everybody who got it done, who made the season possible in the shadow of a global pandemic. Might not have enjoyed the fake crowd noise, and no right-minded person could possibly have enjoyed the La Liga promos. But what a title race, what a relegation battle. Seven games on Saturday, all with something potentially in play. So we're recording Saturday night, which means that Terry Gibson is missing the Eurovision Song Contest. That is the level of commitment this man has for La Liga.
Speaking big night of year for me, that one.
Yeah, they're all in there suffering now behind me. So let's get down to business. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to all our Patreons, of course. So it's patreon.com/LTEL. There are various votes going on the Patreon sites. I'll stick some on Twitter as well. In fact, I've got I stuck a La Liga Player of the Season one on, so we'll have a look at that together. We'll find out the results of that for the Twitter one before the end of the podcast. Well done, by the way, Terry, to Connor, who reminded me on Twitter. He predicted Atleti winning the league when we did the pre-season predictions. I'll dig those pre-season out. Yeah. So, yeah, he did. Well, he was the first person to come up with Atleti. I don't think he was the only one in the end. So well done. Well done for reading that, because, you know, they were, or most people's third choice, I think, was fairly, if I remember rightly. But they've come through, Terry, and nobody embodies or personifies this season more than Diego Simeone. First of all, we'll get on to the players. There's a lot to be said about the players, but let's say something about Simeone and what he has brought to La Liga over the time that he's been in charge of Atleti. It's transformed that club. He's transformed the league, hasn't he? Because, the allegation of it being a two-team league was pretty strong at that point.
Yeah, it was a fair assumption to make that it was, you know, a two-team league. And when he turned up, I can remember Atletico Madrid being in this dreadful run of results against Real Madrid. And it was almost comical that every time Atletico Madrid played Real Madrid won, of course, and it went on and it went on and it went on until he turned up and rocked the boat. And the first trophy won, trying to think back, with the Copa del Rey final when he beat Real Madrid. I think it was at the Bernabeu as well. And from then on, he certainly let people know and Atletico Madrid were going to be competitive. Did we expect them to win the title in 2014? We kind of had an idea that they were at a level where they could compete favourably with the other two. And of course, they won that. And I think from then on, there's almost been a slight disappointment that they haven't won another one, to be honest, because that club has travelled so far under him that it becomes sort of the expectation levels rose considerably to the fact that in the past when they haven't been able to challenge at the top with Real Madrid and Barcelona, I mean really challenge, really push them, he has come in for some criticism. He's transformed the club, and the club have helped as well, because you know now they're able to spend 100 million on João Félix and other big money transfers, which wasn't the case when he came in. You got to recollect what Atletico was pre-Simeone, running through managers left, right and centre, top half of the table team.
I don't know, Spurs or someone like that, wasn't it? Who you always thought had potential, but never actually won much. I know they did win the Europa League, didn't they, under Kike Sanchez Flores, didn't they?
Yes.
And I think just before anyone gets into it, I think his first trophy was probably the Europa League that he won at the end of the season that he came
was
in.
It?
I think so, yeah. And then they won the Copa the next season and the league the next season, yeah. But what he hasn't done...
The Copa Del Rey final was a big one, wasn't it? Because Real Madrid won a run. I've always been Atletico.
Yeah.
And that was that was the beginning of the change where, you know, they did suddenly become something that to be respected.
So he achieved that change... And then not the next transformation, which is this sort of, you know, the promised land that we're all they're going to get to, where it's all beautiful football and it's like Brazil 82 zipping the ball around and long range and all that's never arrived, is it? And this title race isn't that, is it? This title race is Simeone, isn't it? They have, I mean, today's game, they suffered through that game. It was hard work. How many, you can look at it and think, oh, well, they led for quite a long part of the season. They won it comfortably. They didn't win it comfortably, because within that, the amount of games that they suffered through. He uses the word a lot, and boy, it's a good word, isn't it? Because it's hard work, isn't it? And they make a battle of everything. And there was a good chunk of that game where it looked like they were blowing it.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at it, I think they had one defeat in the first 24, and that was against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So, and during that period, there was an acceptance, I think, that they were actually playing decent football. Where they began to suffer was there was a COVID outbreak, wasn't there? Trippier was suspended for 10
January,
games.
January, we're talking.
And then they had two games against Levante, where they lost and drew. They lost at home and drew away. Two games that were in quick succession, 10 days apart, I think, if that. And the league flipped. And at that time, Barcelona and Real Madrid were in the middle of good runs. I mean, Real Madrid have been in a fantastic run, you know, for longer than Barcelona now. They've continued it to the end. So it was a culmination of Atletico just slipping and the other two closing the gap. And then we have the pressure and the anxiety. And then it become... It become, as you want to call it, and most people rightly call it, a suffering period, where there were periods during this last third of the season where, to be honest, they probably shouldn't have been top. You know, the other two made mistakes, dropped points where you didn't expect them to, and that just kept Atletico Madrid just, you know, chipping away at a points tally, somehow finding themselves, you know, still top despite dropping points here and there. Not being as fluent as they were in the first 25 games of the season. But Simeone, even then, I mean, there was a point in the season where they had a lead, they had two games in hand. If they won the two games in hand, it could have been 13-point gap. And it didn't. It didn't materialise. Levante was one of those games in hand, then they lost. They drew in Levante and the others picked up points and it closed. And that's when anxiety set in. But I think in general, we have to recognise as well, a weird season. It has been a weird season. Across the board, not just in La Liga, because of the amount of games played in a shorter space of time with no supporters, different COVID regulations that have been going on. It's been an unusual season. But through all of it, even when they had that big lead, Simeone kept ignoring it and he kept referring to it and he kept saying, this will go down to the last game of the season. And you're thinking, come on, you're 8 points clear. and you got a game in hand against Levante at home. That should take you, you know. But he kept saying that. And he kept saying that, you know, just to reiterate, this is hard for us. It's not going to be easy. So he had the foresight to know that at some stage they weren't going to play as well. They weren't going to win every game, and life might get difficult. And it did up until half time in the last game of the season. They were awful. And just goes to show in football, on paper, you look at current form, previous form, head-to-heads, who's playing well, who's scoring goals, who's... Then on the other end, you're looking at a team that hasn't won a game in ages, they're not playing well, the manager doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm being honest, he doesn't know his best team. I think it was 8 changes today for Sergio, for Valladolid. So he's rattling through the players. And then when the two teams set out on the pitch, if one team plays as badly as Atletico Madrid did in that first half, for all sorts of reasons, tension, of course, nerves, anxiety, all of that, but the ability to pass the ball 10 yards to a teammate's feet and keep missing. And, you know, Sunday, I feel it was all wrong in the first half, and I would question the team selection. It's a bit churlish now because they got the win, they win the league. But Hermoso playing at left back meant that he doesn't cross the halfway line. It means Carrasco never gets the opportunity to develop a partnership and maybe get an overload 2-1 against a team that is playing 4-4-2. I'd be critical of Correa. Correa was playing too wide in the first half. He was playing right wing, Carrasco left wing, Suarez up the middle on his own. He was isolated. He was awful in the first half. He was pretty poor in the second half. Inevitable that he gets the winning goal, of course. And you wouldn't choose any other striker in that situation to finish it off. But they never got the ball to him. He never held the ball up. He couldn't make runs in behind. So it just goes to show when we try to predict games, you know, sometimes there's you just forget that footballers are humans. And sometimes they just don't feel particularly good. Sometimes you just don't play well. No matter what you try, everything goes wrong. And when you have as many doing that in the first half as Atletico did, genuinely hope for Valladolid to win the game at that stage, to give themselves a chance to stay up. And, you know, that's how sport plays out. Not everybody in every game or every race or whatever sport you play on every day, you don't play to your best. It's impossible. There's a certain level where you need to reach and stay at. And then when you play well, it takes you even further ahead. If you play badly, it should be the end of the world. You should be okay still. But every now and then, the wheels just fall off. And when you saw Atletico, their performance in the first half, I genuinely feared for them then that they were going to blow it. Because we know Real Madrid are going to fight to the end. And when you see them play where they barely had an attempt on goal, they didn't look like scoring. They couldn't keep possession via the lids when they threatened. Found it quite easy to get down the flanks, particularly the left side of Atletico's defence. And then it all changed around at half-time.
Yeah, well, there was a minute that almost proved crucial, wasn't it? Where Real Madrid had got the ball in the net, so it looked like Benzema had scored, which was... that they were only drawing at that point, weren't they? Because they actually messed it up as well, Real Madrid, didn't they? Also, the embodiment of the season, wasn't it, Real Madrid?
Yeah.
I mean, they eventually came through, which they didn't in the season. I guess that's the difference. But, you know, they very nearly messed up the occasion themselves. But so that goal was disallowed. And then Correa scored his equaliser, which gave Atleti a bit of a gap. Obviously, only when Suarez scored his goal was it back in their hands entirely at that point. Yes. Can we talk about some of the individuals involved in this Atleti season as well?
Definitely.
Suarez will be the story of the season. Doesn't mean he's the player of the season, but, you know, his contribution, it could not have gone better. He was emotional when he gave his interviews on the pitch afterwards, wasn't he?
Wasn't that great to see?
Yeah.
And hunger, that desire, that competitive spirit.
Yeah.
Not just to get one over on Barcelona, but to prove a lot of people wrong. That was fantastic to see how much he cared. You know, not just about the success, how much it actually meant to him and his family. I'm assuming they were on the phone. So that was lovely to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say lovely to see from Suarez often over the years, do we? But that was.
Yeah. I mean, it will go down, obviously, it'll go down in history, won't it? That, you know, Barca got rid of him. They not just got rid of him, they paid him to go and allowed him to go to Atleti. So, you know, that's the double edge of the story, isn't it? Barca, the previous Barca regime's culpability in that, and then how he, what he brought, just that extra bit of the edge of the assassin, I guess, that he brought to Atleti was crucial.
Yeah, and I think because of the way Barcelona fell away from it, it's kind of lent away from that, hasn't it? I look upon it as Suarez still taking on Real Madrid, despite the fact he used to do it in the Barcelona kit, and now he's denied Real Madrid the chance to win the league because Barcelona blew it big time. I mean, you see how they've fallen out of the race. So in terms of the competitors for the title, Barcelona were never top of the league once this whole season. So, you know, we'll never know, but we could argue that maybe if Suarez had stayed, Barcelona might have scored more goals. Goal scoring hasn't been their major problem. No. Unless you talk about the big games, and that's probably where Suarez makes the difference. That's where he's always made the difference. You know, he's not just padded out his stats with scoring against, you know, mid-table teams. He's a goal scorer, big goals, important goals, lots of goals. I mean, one of the best ever in that position. And, you know, he came up with when he goes through on goal, the only doubt I had was whether his legs would carry him. He does look that type of player now, doesn't he? Where he doesn't run away from people. He needs a decent head start, which he got. And when he gets through, right foot, left foot, doesn't matter. He is, as you say, an assassin and picked his spot. There was none of that inexperience, excitement, blazing it over the crossbar or hitting it straight at the goalkeeper. He had the composure, didn't he? And it was the finish of an absolute expert in and around the penalty area. Yeah. So he is going to be the big storyline of this title-winning team. But there are a whole host of core players that have served Atletico fantastically well this season.
Yeah. So another one I want to talk about, which won't come as a revelation to anybody, Marcos Llorente. I said at the top, it's occurred to me now, Terry, that we're sharing this with everybody, not Patreon. So there's a bonus ramble for me at the top, which is what, you know, it's part of what you pay for.
If you're a patron,
So there is a part. And so as I pointed out, Llorente is top of the Patreon poll at the moment. I mean, what a contribution. He's also in a way typical of the season that he is arguably, he's definitely a contender for player of the season. I mean, you've got to get past Messi still, haven't you? We'll get to Messi in a bit.
I know, Messi has anyone taken Messi's crown yet? 30 goals, loads of assists. It's hard to deny it still, isn't it? If you're still picking the best player. And I don't think anyone has done enough yet in this season. I don't think anyone has done enough in this season to actually take that crown off of him still. So if we just ignore Messi as normal, which we tend to do a lot of years, don't we? A lot of seasons where we put him in a different category and look at the rest of the league, then Llorente. And I think it's always best to wait until the season that has ended. And look who is one of the most decisive players, and it has to be him. I mean, he's 26 years of age now. He's taken a long route to get to where he is. I was banging on years ago about how I thought he could improve Real Madrid. I stand by that now, and it's evident and obvious to everyone. But he just never got the opportunity. And, you know, for Atletico to pick him up in the end. And it's strange why he never got the opportunities, because I don't see what there isn't. But I can't find anything not to like about him.
Yeah. What didn't they want? Yeah,
we recognised his ability in the Copa del Rey final when he was alone at Alaves, but I thought he was man of the match, and Alaves got smashed by Barcelona. And I thought he was the best player on the pitch, but it was Barcelona against Alaves, and from then on, I thought he can tell he's. I didn't know he was going to be this type of player. But he does everything. And that's why I say that I don't see why you wouldn't like him. Attitude, work rate, speed, power, ability. Goal, you know, he can run behind, he can score goals, he can make goals. So it was, you know, eyebrows were raised when I think he went for about 40 million, didn't he, from Real to Atletico, which was a decent sum of money. And it took a while for him to fit in under Simeone. And it all turned around on that Liverpool game. It's, you know, he came in as a sub. He scores two goals at Anfield. I'd never seen him play like that. Simeone recognised his ability in training to, you know, for the stuff that we're seeing now. I'm not sure they clearly didn't buy him for that. He was bought as a holding midfield player or box to box midfield player. And his impact this season has been phenomenal in so many different positions. And it's hard to still pick. I'd like to see him nearer the box. I'd like to see him nearer the attacking play. But he can play wide right, he can play right back, he can play right wing back, he can play central midfield, holding midfield, attacking midfield. He can play up front. I think he's a sensational player, and he's, you know, been a core player this year for Atletico Madrid, and which means he is one of the most important players in the team. And it's I'd have no problem if he was player of the year this season.
I was looking. I've been on a stats site, Terry. I'm having a nose around, poke around, and most efficient finisher. Got into this stats set, Llorente, which was interesting. Followed by Messi was second. And then Morales was third, which is, obviously doesn't get many chances, does he? Suarez, Benzema. It's quite good. Obviously, when you look at stats, you can't just go, you got to use your eyes as well, obviously. But when you get the list out and you think, can't argue with that. So Benzema, Budimir, Molina, En-Nesyri, efficient finisher. It's an impressive all-round season, isn't it, from Marcos Llorente and from Atleti. We should talk about the rest, of course, shouldn't we? So, let's do the relegation battle.
I'll give me the rest of the Atletico players. That'd be a long podcast.
Yes.
Oblak, been brilliant.
Yeah.
Trippier, congratulations, Kieran Trippier.
Let's talk about Kieran Trippier. I'm told, Terry, you won't like this, Terry, but...
I know, it's coming up. Spurs and another one that's won a trophy. How many is it?
89.
Oh, just the 89. Since Spurs, when? I count as that?
No. So since Spurs...
I don't count.
No, afraid not, no. It's Spurs last won a trophy.
I see.
So 89 players have left Spurs have gone on to win a trophy. Anyway,
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. I thought I must be included in that, because that must be a long time if it goes up to 80 something players. And Trippier is not one of them. But now he's been, and also what annoys me, my one and only little moan rant, he gets criticised when he's in the England squad.
Yeah,
Trippier, by supporters who don't watch La Liga. He's playing now, regular and important for a team that's just won the Liga title. So next time he gets selected for Gareth Southgate's squad, give him some respect, for goodness sake. You know, it's a lot of people don't see him every week. And I know he's ex-Spurs and he's an easy target and stuff like that. But if he's good enough for Simeone's defence on a regular basis, and they missed him when he was suspended, then I don't think there can be any complaints when he gets picked for the England squad.
Yeah.
He's been super this year.
Yeah, here. And let's talk about Carrasco, because obviously they paid a fortune for João Félix to provide that little bit of extra flair, but it really is Carrasco, isn't it, who made that strange move. Well, I suppose his bank balance benefited from going to China for a bit, but it was brilliant to see him back in top level European football while he was still at his peak, and he has been the difference in key moments in key games.
Yep, and works incredibly hard as well. And he's another one that can play in that left wing back position, which he has done this season when they've chosen to play three at the back and use him as a wing back. Again, another player I still prefer to see higher up the pitch, because he's got that skill to quite comfortably beat defenders without blistering pace. Skillful, drop of the shoulder, great first touch, great passer, super player. I was disappointed when he left originally. It left me doubting his attitude, you know, whether he was just a money-grabbing mercenary and playing for one of the big clubs in Europe, but still couldn't go and wait to, you know, earn a few quid more. Pleased when he came back initially on loan. Pleased when they signed him full-time as well. And he's been super. And I think that particularly in this second half of the season, when one or two have dropped their level, he's up to his. And he's been a big reason why Atletico won the league. And Koke, we have to mention Koke as well. Koke is the only player, isn't he, to be from the last title-winning team?
Yeah.
Jimenez didn't play many games that year. I think might have been a couple of appearances. Sal was not involved, although he's been at the club a long time. So I think Koke is the main one from that group and this group. So young Koke in the first time round. This time he's one of the senior players, the skipper. So he's going to go down in, you know, the history of Atletico Madrid as a two times winner, because they don't win many. This is their 11th. You compare it, I think, 34 Real Madrid, 25, I think, Barcelona. Better check that. 34 titles, Real Madrid, 26 for Barcelona. Good job I checked. And all those Barca fans saying I've knocked a title off. And Atletico 11. It's a big achievement. It's something we should talk about. It's the third in 25 years. It doesn't happen every 5 minutes. And Koke to be involved in two of them is a lot of credit to him.
Right. I think that will do us for Atleti. Let's have a quick chat about the relegation battle, because it has been fascinating, hasn't it? In fact, brilliant. I'll share my screen with the patrons, so we can have a quick check of the table as we go. So, it's not done yet, is it? Obviously, we've got the After the Lord Mayor show games tomorrow, haven't we?
I've put down the consequences of those and I gave up. Granada can finish ninth. They can jump up a spot. Getafe can finish 15th. They can go up a spot. Sevilla, a fourth. Nothing can happen either way. And then Alaves, I thought, I just can't be bothered. They're safe. I couldn't be bothered to work out the head-to-head between Alaves and Levante.
Yeah.
To see who finishes 14th. Please forgive me, everyone. Yeah. I'm not normally that neglectful, but I couldn't be asked on this occasion.
But you know, while I was on that stats page, the least efficient team by an absolute mile in terms of taking chances, Eibar. And, you know, that's where they finished, isn't it? So they missed about
six penalties as well, didn't they? Which doesn't help.
Yeah, so we knew they were down anyway. And then Valladolid have gone as well. And Huesca's the one you feel most sorry for, isn't it? Because they made the change to Pacheta and just didn't have the firepower. And in the end, Elche came through and sort of, you know, dramatically won it, or, you know, got the victory they needed today in front of fans, which was lovely to see. Just, you know, we just got a few grounds with fans in before the end of the season.
I think Raul Guti got booked, didn't he, for celebrating with the fans when he ran over and hugged a few. I'm led to believe it was his family.
Right.
How much of that is true, I don't know. But that was, you know, massively emotional scenes for Elche and Huesca. They're both newly promoted. To stay in the division for another season is obviously a big target, a big aim, a big ambition. Cadiz did it comfortably. They were the other newly promoted team. For Elche and Huesca to go down to the wire, you know, small margins and stuff. I think Huesca at the woodwork twice with Sandro. Rafamir has a header disallowed, right the offside. And Elche, you know, were able to take the chances that came that way. Lucas Boye with a decent finish. Real Guti with a fantastic strike to wrap it up, I say, was after 73 minutes. So safety for Elche. And unfortunately for Huesca, but that is, you know, we don't. If you make the wrong decisions, make the wrong calls, take too long to maybe change your manager, which could be argued about Valladolid as well, you suffer the consequences.
Yeah, and Huesca have never stayed up, have they, in La Liga? So they've never managed a two-season stay. Right, while I'm on this stat, another thing that jumped out at me, which amused me, in terms of long passes completed, bottom, medium length passes completed, bottom. Short passes completed, bottom. XG assists, they were bottom. Most progressive passes, bottom. In everything, they basically never kicked the ball, is Cadiz, who, when we did our pre-season predictions, everybody had them bottom. Not everybody. They were easily 20th. No, actually, they weren't easily. But to be fair, Elche were... most people's were bottom, actually.
They won the playoffs, didn't they? They sacked their manager, chucked a load of players out, signed 25 South Americans, which led everyone to think, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Well, exactly what we thought would happened until they made the managerial change. But Cadiz, and against Levante, it's, I mean, on Friday night, decent game, really good game, actually, because neither team had anything to worry about. But I just see so many failings. And actually, lack of quality from Cadiz, and yet they got another 2-2 draw and could have won it.
Yeah.
So Alvaro Cervera might have a chance of being the manager of the season, to be honest, because the hardest thing for a manager is when you actually, your players lack quality to actually finish where they are in the league.
Yeah. 12th above Valencia.
Incredible. Mm-mm. It really is. Every single game I see them play, I think they've got great attitude. They work hard. I just don't think they're good enough. And I know they had that period at the start of the season when they were near the top of the league. And I backed them for relegation when they were about third or fourth. And they slid and they slid and they slid. And then just when it was getting close, they picked up again. How they've done it, I don't know. I know I'm meant to be an analyst, but they've left me baffled this year. But fair play to them. For having a comfortable season, as opposed to the other two that came up, that one has gone down and one has struggled, and Cadiz have made light work of it.
I watched a classic cowboy film earlier this week, Terry. You can tell that the football's thinning out, and there was a scene where they all just look at each other, and it goes on forever, where they all just it's like a Cadiz game. You can imagine that just kick off, and they'll just everyone will just stand, and we're not kicking the ball to you, kick the ball.
And look at the wins they've had. Yeah. Then they beat Real Madrid, they beat Barcelona. Fantastic season from them. It really has been. So the big story.
Yeah.
And also, I'm glad they've stayed up because hopefully we got the supporters back in and their crowd, they're second to none.
Yeah.
It's an atmospheric stadium. It's similar to Sevilla and Betis and stuff like that. Those southern Spanish, you know, it's always warm. It's always hot. It's very colourful. And the supporters are so passionate. So hopefully we see them back next season. And then the team actually might look different with that passion behind them and a different, you know, background and with the noise, proper noise. So congratulations, Cadiz, on a job well done.
The European battle wrapped up, Real Sociedad and then Betis. And so it's Villarreal. Obviously, we've got the Europa League final to come. So this could change. It could be in the Champions League, of course. But they go into the Europa Conference.
How much extra motivation is that for Villarreal going into the Europa League final as well? Not to go in the bloody European Conference. We got beat Man United to get out. But it is. I'm joking. It is. I mean, you know, Manchester United are in the Champions League next season. Villarreal, you know, whether they're good enough, I think they have a chance against Manchester United. They really do. And I think Man United have to show them all the respect that they deserve. And the coach knows his way around the final. So that's tough on Villarreal. At one stage, when they were beating Real Madrid, they actually still weren't qualifying for sixth and fifth. Once Real Sociedad got their goal from Isak, who's had a brilliant season, 17 goals. That sort of crept up on me. I wasn't aware of how many he'd got until recently. So he's been a big plus for Real Sociedad this year. Can they keep him? It remains to be seen. So Real Sociedad, I think Real Sociedad were the fifth best team in the league this year, if I'm being honest. And they're going in the right direction. Hopefully they can close that gap up that's too big at the moment between them and Seville. If they can get that closer, then, you know, we have that race for a Champions League. We'll be more competitive next year other than as opposed to this year where the top four have been outside.
We will.
And Betis, different class as well.
We'll come back and we've got time. We're not going anywhere, literally. I'm going to Wales for 5 days, so we've got plenty of time through the summer to unpick where, you know, how every team has done. So we'll have more time to sort of pick the bones out of the rest of the season. But we need obviously to talk about Barcelona Real Madrid briefly, because where's the future like? There's so much uncertainty with both of those clubs. So we're recording Saturday night. Obviously, you know, we're going to catch the end of Eurovision in a bit. But
I didn't even know it was on.
So he says.
I'm planning to go and watching it now. No, of course.
But we don't. So we might, you know, miss the fact. We don't even know whether Zidane will be there. At Real Madrid, come tomorrow, come the next day. Yeah, or Koeman. So there's, and we don't know if Messi will be there. So there is so much up in the air with the Giants, isn't there?
There is, and I honestly believe that neither will be there in a week's time. I think there's more chance of Koeman staying at Barcelona, but I think Zidane will make the choice to leave Real Madrid. I just don't see any signs in recent weeks that he's ultra committed to staying any longer. I don't think it's Real Madrid moving him out. I just think it's a case of maybe burnout again. It takes its toll. It's been tough on a lot of clubs for different reasons. Real Madrid playing in their training ground for a whole season. That's not being manager of Real Madrid, is it? Yeah. You know, walking out of the Bernabeu 19 games a season with that crowd and that advantage. It must get quite monotonous, to be honest. You train there every day and you're playing every home game there. And, you know, that's been tough on the Real Madrid players and in particular the manager. And I think in general, managing one of those big clubs for a number of seasons takes its toll. We've seen that with a number of other managers in the past. So I don't think he's shown too many signs that he's committed to staying any longer than what he is now. So be a shame to see him come, but who knows? He could be back again one day. I didn't expect him to come back as quickly as he did. Who knows what happens in the future, but it's an absolute, you know, legend. I'm glad I always hoped, many years ago, we were talking, weren't we, on the podcast, and I was always hoping that Zidane would get an opportunity as manager of Real Madrid. He hasn't disappointed. Tough season for Real Madrid. I could be critical and say they let too many players out on loan. I hear people saying they've had a successful season because they have had so much, you know, go against them. But every club has that. You set clubs up, you set squads up to make sure that if things go against you, you've got cover. And they failed to do that. And I think they've paid the price by not having why they decided to reduce the squad financially or because Zidane didn't want players around that weren't playing on a regular basis. But some of those players out on loan would have been handy in the second half of the season. So but I don't think either will be manager next week of either club.
Yeah. And Messi, where does he kick off?
I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back at Barcelona. I think that because of the situation the world finds itself in, because of his age, is it worth the upheaval to go and start? I get one day he'll go and play in the MLS. I think that's where he'll go for his little retirement spell. But I don't see him facing the upheaval of another top European club at this stage of his life. And his career and his family's life. But I think there must have been talked behind the scenes where Laporta is trying to make sure to Messi get across exactly what they're trying to do next season. There will be plans in place. We're not privy to them, and nor should we be. But I think Messi's probably been convinced that Laporta thinks there's, you know, better times around the corner.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have seen him leave Barcelona in the manner that we've seen today, where he's rested, didn't travel, didn't go to Eibar, and I don't know where he's gone. But I don't think that would be in the case if Barcelona thought he was leaving.
Yeah. Right, opportunity for everyone to get involved. Obviously, become a patron. That's the best way for you to get involved. But I think we'll take some. I think a team of the season. I think Terry will look for. Obviously, when the season has finally finished, or when tomorrow's games are done, I'll dig out where it is the predictions. So we'll have a look at. We'll compare those, and we'll see the big winners, which I suspect is Cadiz, and losers, who have underperformed. We'll have a look at that. But yeah, so give us your teams of the season, everybody.
Is this the one, John, with one player per club or the best?
So
we're doing two?
It's your choice. So we'll have a look. Yeah, so you can just do your best 11 because, to be honest with you, it's not as obvious. We started the one team per season thing when it was a two-horse race. And it was just do your Atleti Barca team and that was it. Sorry, your Real Madrid
Barca.
whereas now, I think you genuinely... looking around.
We used to have that bloody Thomas Ushfalusi in it every year, didn't we? At Glasgow.
Be rude about Thomas Hood for losing.
I'm presuming he's not listening.
Might be. There are various people using avatars and things. One of them could be Thomas Hood for losing. So send us in your... Yeah, do whatever you like, as long as they all play in La Liga. And as I said to the Patreons the other day, just don't put Iago Aspas at left back. No cheating. Yes. You know, yeah. It's going to be some kind of proper team in some kind of recognisable football formation.
Yeah,
and put fullbacks at fullback, and you know, and put midfielders in midfield. You know, that's
Messi is a right wing back.
Yeah. That's all I ask of you. So if you want the additional challenge, if you've been watching a lot of La Liga this season and you reckon you can do it, one player per team. I reckon you and I can do this, can't we? So
I wasn't miles away from, and it was quite straightforward, to be honest. I got about seven or eight.
All right, from different.
And he starts getting from different teams. So
okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll come up with that as well.
So we'll back and we'll have a sort of a review podcast, and we'll dig out those teams of the season. So send us those. Patreon, send it through the Patreon site. Everybody else, send it to us on Twitter. So that is at Driscoll FC and at Terry Gibson 88 and at @LaLiga_weekly. So thank you for listening to us. We're not, as I say, we're not going anywhere. We're not allowed. Terry's going for 2 weeks in the Falkland Islands. But,
again.
we'll be around. We've got the Euros coming up, and we'll be looking back, and send us your teams of the season. And once again, congratulations to Diego Simeone, Atletico Madrid, all of their supporters, and thank you very much for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.